Now, you're saying there was a change in the character of the bar.
Well, I saw this new, not so much a new breed, because the period we're talking about is only 7 or 8 years, but a kind of a wave of younger lawyers coming along who were doing some rather innovative new things in terms of argument and pleading. And I began to see myself as kind of a spectator to this this evolution in the law, both substantive and procedural evolution. And I'm watching these young people doing interesting things. And I began to get a little fidgety and thought I would like to have a bigger piece of the action than calling ball and strike, overruled and sustained while these bright young guys are trying these cases. I didn't feel that I had the real whatever it takes to be an effective practitioner. And so I began to think about appellate court work, which would give me an opportunity to do some writing, do some reading and some studying that I never had a chance to do, and most trial judges don't have a chance to do in an urban area.
And you were serving initially with Brennan and Swainson, both of whom went on to the Supreme Court, right?
Actually, Tom Brennan and I, as close as we are, passed as ships in the night in the Wayne Circuit Court.
How was that?
He left the autumn before I arrived. But John Swainson and I were serving together, and we were very close friends. We got to be friends because of serving together in the Wayne Circuit. So about 1966, or 1974 or 5, in that period, something in there, perhaps a little earlier, I called Jim Brickley, my old law partner and friend, and who was then Lieutenant Governor, and said, what would be asked, what would the prospects might be for me to move up to the Court of Appeals, although I wasn't sure I wanted to. And he did some exploring and indicated to me that I should get some paperwork into the governor, whom I'd never met. And
in 75, you had never met?
No. Perhaps this I'm talking about might be early 74 now.
Oh, I see.
early 74, I think it was. So I got the paperwork in, and I got to thinking about the Court of Appeals and made up my mind that I really didn't want to be on the Court of Appeals. I remember Tom Brennan saying to me once that he would never be interested in serving in the Michigan Court of Appeals because to him, the work there was in the nature of correcting blue books all day long and sending them back to the trial judge's students, so you get that simile. As opposed to the Supreme Court, which was a common law court of lawmaking in large respect. I thought about that, and I really thought maybe I agreed with that. So I remember calling Brickley one day and saying, will you meet me at the Book Cadillac Hotel after work for a drink? And he did, and I said, Jim, I know you've been searching, looking about on my behalf, but I don't want to be on the Court of Appeals. And I don't know whether anybody's thinking of appointing me, but in the off chance that they might be, I wouldn't want you to be embarrassed. So if I'm under consideration, would you could you get my name pulled? And I'm not sure I am under consideration. Well, he tried to talk me out of that a little bit. I thought, by golly, maybe I am in the finals. Well, within a week or so, George Becerra was appointed to the Michigan Court of Appeals. He had been a Wayne probate judge. And nothing further was said about my change of heart. Later years, Jim Brickley's told me that it wasn't necessary to pull my name because I wasn't on the top of the list anyway. But I got to thinking about the appellate court work after that, and never did anything about it. I didn't know the governor. I wasn't active in the Republican Party. Never had been. Even the short stint in Redford as a Republican JP didn't have any party involvement of any kind. I loved my work as a trial judge. Wasn't sure I wanted to leave. When my good friend, John Swainson, with whom I served and to whom I'd gotten very close when we were Wayne Circuit judges, was accused of a crime in the federal court system. And that is certainly detailed elsewhere by others in this history. The upshot of it all was that in early November of 1975, John was convicted of two or three counts of perjury, which conviction he immediately appealed to the United States Court of Appeals. But under the law, his conviction of a felony required that he resign from the Michigan Supreme Court. And he did, creating a vacancy. And